We're on the record. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
What is that?
That's a recorder.
Cool.
So it's Tuesday, October 17th at 9 o'clock.
Bethel Township Board of Trustees workshop meeting has begun.
Fantastic. We got Matt Crispin here from the school, so yay. What you got for us?
Hey, we're going to do this playground thing.
We're trying. We got waiting on the estimate to come back from to move the equipment, make sure it can be moved.
Okay.
And as long as that's not crazy, then yeah.
We'll start. I'll have our attorney start on a resolution and to do a sale and for a buck. And
that would be great.
We'll get that ready.
Thank you.
So.
Did you find out anything with Liz with that signature page for your plan?
She hasn't brought it. Let me follow up with her.
Okay.
Yeah. We got another hot issue with Deputy McGuire, so, but lost track of that one.
That's okay. I just want to make sure I don't miss it, so.
And did anybody contact you about the trauma kits, or what you call the Stop the Bleeding kits, or?
Yeah, I told Liz that we were looking into it, but you can get them with grants, basically, but I mean, we're just at the beginning part of trying to figure that out.
Okay. I know we've got a list of, what our needs are, but those backpacks that I was talking about, that's what's in there.
Okay. And so, like I think I said last time, we'd be more than happy to go over that or review that, or if you have an in-service coming up and you want to do a training on what's in the kits and how to use those.
Awesome, given the number of new staff that
we have. I mean, we're happy to do any of that.
Yeah, cool.
And the other thing that we've looked at before, and I don't know who you use, we also have several CPR instructors here, too, if you need CPR. And I know you sometimes need it. I mean, I have to have it for being a coach. I know your coaches need it for your pupil activity, bus drivers, all that kind of stuff. So if you have a need, you might already use someone that's better, but that's fine, too. But if you run into that. But definitely if you want to do like an in-service training on kids or first aid or something, we'd be more than happy to do that.
At some point, if somebody could bring me up to speed, obviously not here, but you volunteering?
Maybe.
Just bring me up to speed on the whole annexation, all of that.
We can do that here.
Yeah, if you want. If you got 10 minutes, we can bring you up to speed.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
No.
All right. Great.
We're going to talk about it anyway.
So.
Yeah. So currently, the annexation petition died in June because the Huber Heights City Council did not act on it.
We're talking the annexation of
260 acres between what is Carriage Trails and
40.
Yeah.
So it's. Five parcels. I think they added one.
There was five. That some they got kind of split up in the process, but five of the original parcels. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that petition, that annexation petition, died, and one of the reasons that they did not vote on it is our understanding is that per their city charter. If they act on a ordinance or a resolution and it fails, it can't come back up again for another year. So there's that. So they didn't act on it. So it has the potential to come back. The board members the council members that we have talked to have indicated that it will come back. Just it's a matter of time.
And politics.
Yeah, and politics. Definitely politics. We've since learned that there's an additional 35 acres that is going to potentially be added to the next annexation petition, so it'd make it 295 some acres. And when that happens, we don't know. We did worked with our lawyer and with the city of Huber Heights to create an annexation agreement so that in the event that this annexation would happen, we would get, in exchange for this annexation happening, we would get an agreement on a moratorium on future annexations for 50 years. So we did, went back and forth with our lawyer and their city manager and Andy primarily.
And the city attorney.
Yeah, and their city attorney. We had a meeting here in late May, because they had been in agreement with it. But basically, we won't object to this current annexation, but in exchange, we get a moratorium of 50 years. I mean, that's the gist of it. So no more annexations for 50 years. And then that just completely fell apart when it got... We passed it, much to the dismay of our residents, but we felt it was a very fair trade. No additional annexations, well, outside of a box, but in exchange for 50 years of no annexations, which is huge. It lets you guys plan better for your growth. It allows us to keep up with infrastructure needs. But then that agreement fell flat. They didn't even take it up for a vote at their city.
It is still active on our part.
Yeah.
We did not rescind that.
Yeah.
So if additional annexation petitions come up, that's still on the table from us. But
right.
Whether they'll accept it or not, it's a whole different ballgame.
And we have a TIF on all those properties. Mm-hmm. It's not, we haven't enacted it. I mean, it is actually a TIF that is filed with the state, but it's not in...
Action,
yeah, I guess. So in order for them to remove that TIF, they have to reach an agreement with us some manner, shape, or form. And we are hoping that future agreement includes a moratorium for 50 years, or if not longer. Longer would be even better. But, it's a really important fact. We didn't have a TIF in place. I don't even think there was that mechanism back in 2003 when the first round of, you know, acreage was gone. So there will be discussions in the future with the city of Huber Heights because that TIF is on there. I fully believe that it will come back, probably with 295 acres, probably in...
Around the first of the year.
Yeah, November, December. They are waiting for their board to change, and then they're confident
they
will have a vote.
Two members that aren't going to rerun, and they three members.
I think it's three.
I thought
maybe it's two. Maybe it's only two.
Which will change that dynamic of their board. They feel confident they're going to get some other people in that will be more pro annexation than those people
pro
were.
Pro growth, yeah. So
I can tell you what I've learned in the last couple of days. I was going to tell them this morning. DEC is a developer, and they continue to purchase that ground. They've bought all the levees except for 56 acres.
Really?
I talked to Gary the other day, and they bought another section in the back
from him.
So there's 56 acres up there by DJ's that the landowner still owns. But the rest of his farm has transferred to the developer. And then the Halderman property, which is the one right outside of Brandt here.
Right by the barn with the big Mustang on it.
Oh, okay.
That has not transferred yet, but they have an option on that. So I talked to that landowner yesterday, and they have signed a contract to sell it to them. They have agreed upon a price, but there's a contingency that, you know, they won't actually make the purchase until the annexation goes through. So after about 20 minutes of talking to him, I did get them to agree to go to their attorney and see if there's any way they can get out of that agreement, but they do not think so. But those people live in Michigan, and the guy told me, he said, it's just financial. That's the only thing that will change my mind. He said, if there's something that benefits us financially and we can get out of the agreement, we would do something. But he said, we don't, you know, owe anything to the community, nor they're not part of the community, you know. So that developer is keep buying it, he must be pretty certain that it's going to go through.
And another thing is that these parcels are in our facilities planning area, our FPA, which is designated by the Ohio EPA. And in 2009 and 10, as part of our anti-annexation strategy, we do have water and sewer almost the entire length of the southern end of the township. So along 40, basically.
Okay.
And that was put in there because if we can do some type of less dense development, that creates a block, a boundary for Huber to, they don't want to buy your house on 1 or 2 acres. They want to buy 50 acres of open land. But since it's still in our facilities planning area and we do have the infrastructure to service it, that's another seat at the table that we have to make a decision. And Huber has indicated that they would like Miami County, which manages our sewer and water, to supply that sewer because it's a
few different issues. Yeah. One, they're at capacity at their sewer treatment plant, and two, just the logistics of the length of way and the, you know, it's easier.
Yeah, so Tri-Cities is at capacity, and Clark County, which services ours, is not at capacity, but we don't have the line diameter to service it, so that's a whole nother line that would go in, and they haven't even started the engineering on that, because there's no reason to yet until they know what's going to happen.
That's about 2 years for the engineering to completion.
Yeah.
Engineering takes 6 months,
forever,
6-8 months, and then construction takes around almost a full 10 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So even if...
So growth's coming.
Growth's coming.
It is. Not to be doom and gloom, but to be realistic. I mean, cards are definitely held by municipalities in annexations, and we do not have a vote in it, but we have put in place this TIF, and it's in our FPA, and we have a sewer and water. So we will at least have a seat at the table as to how that unfolds, and our hope is that the timeline is slow so that the schools have a chance to catch up. I mean, I know it's not ideal to get an additional...
The one thing that I will say about our agreement, one of the points that was brought up originally was the potential for managing the density within the annexed area, and that was something that they would not bring to the table because they basically said it's not ours, it's the developers.
Right.
So we tried to work that in, but that's not something that they would look at. Because I know at the 260 acres or whatever it was, they were looking at about 1,100 units.
1,174.
So you're probably looking with the other things that they've added on, you're probably getting close to 1,500 units.
Yeah. Okay.
I know it's probably not what any of us want to hear. It's just the realism of it.
Growth's good. I mean, it can be good. It's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that. Experience both, actually. Marysville, the decade I was at Marysville.
Thank you, Honda.
But yeah, mm-hmm. Just crazy. Well, it was that, and people started figuring out that it's a 15-minute drive to the Outer Belt, and you get a better house for your money, and milk's a little cheaper, and and you can still get that small school feel. Marysville's not a small district. So yeah, we need to plan. That's all. And good news is we have land, which is for a lot of districts that's a struggle to find land. So we have land, and we have the potential to have a really nice campus.
Absolutely,
right. Definitely.
Yeah. So okay. Well, thank you for letting me.
Sure. No, we're glad you came.
Thank you for the quick lesson on annexation and.
You know, and hopefully for your perspective, knowing that it's coming, there's all this stuff. I mean, we've fought and scraped and everything else for 2 years now. And you're going to have at least probably 2 to 3 years before you start to see the first housing go up once it's approved. So hopefully this is given a little bit of a
breather.
A breather as Carriage Trails slows down because they're finishing to what they're going to do next. So I know it's kind of a stopgap. You know, there was a little strip of land that was still part of the original annexation, and you're seeing them build that. If you drive on 40 and look all the way back, that's that new little section they're building, you know, to kind of finish off the remaining, you know, Carriage Trails. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be done here soon.
Yeah. And they've, I don't know if you've seen their plans from DEC. I haven't seen them since 2020, so I'm
Right before COVID.
It was very, very, you know, like 10,000 feet, maybe even 20,000 feet. They didn't have any, they just had
it was
like,
just a bubble diagram.
Yeah, bubble diagram. But they fully intend to have an exit onto Flick from, which is, so they have it stubbed already, so that it lines up perfectly with Flick Road. But
onto 40.
Yeah, onto 40. But he did say at that time, their goal, again, at that time, plans change. Their goal is to funnel everything onto 201, which is even more important while we get that light in there, which is another thing. I don't know if you're in the loop with that, but...
So this is 201 in Carriage Trails Parkway, where there's been a lot of congestion and everything else. Simultaneously, we're working on the agreement and everything else. We were working on another, for lack of a better term, annexation of the right-of-way there, because ODOT, their studies don't warrant any improvements to that intersection.
No kidding.
Wow. But obviously there's improvements needed to that intersection. And so we were more than willing to not say anything to that annexation, you know, just it's a right-of-way annexation. Well, that was going well until some of that area is actually owned by DEC, and they kind of threw a wrench into...
They didn't want to do it.
So even though that would have been City of Huber Heights' infrastructure money paying for that, the land that was available to make some of those improvements, DEC held that up.
So, and they're still holding it
And they're still holding
to
it.
To our knowledge. Like, we're not in the conversation anymore. I'm not in the conversation anymore. But that's,
So that was an interesting twist to that whole thing, is the people who have caused the problem won't even help to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And we realized it. I mean, we even made sure, you know, with the Park District acquiring that land across from them, that, you know, they were involved in the conversation, and they're not going to have any entrances or anything off of 201, so they didn't care. But, you know, tried to take a comprehensive look at that, and it's held up now.
Yeah.
And as those potholes get worse on that eastern side of the road and people keep going around, I seen somebody blast through there the other day, and I don't know how they didn't wreck.
Wow.
They went through almost at full speed around someone.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were, you could tell it was, they were holding that car on the road. Because it was a car, not even a truck.
Oh my gosh.
And there's some pretty good size ruts now over there. So that's the 50,000 foot view of what we know.
Yeah, that's very helpful, very informative. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I haven't talked to the developer in years.
Well, probably.
And I haven't talked to anybody at Huber Heights about it either. So
not
since July.
Yeah,
The developer is still DEC, Bill Kiefler.
Yeah.
As far to our knowledge.
You ever talked to him?
Year. Got introduced to him.
Yeah.
So. All right. Any questions on that part of it?
No.
Okay.
Again, great information, and just wanted to know what we're looking at, and a little breathing room sounds like.
Let's hope.
Which is time to plan and really kind of get a gauge on. The projections that we kind of spitballed last year, we're just shy of 2% where we thought we'd be this year.
Oh, wow.
Enrollment-wise, so kind of keep an eye on that, but you know, gives us time to plan, gives us time to get our refund back from the state.
Mm-hmm.
The K-5 building, which we keyed to that next building.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, thanks again for your time.
Sure. Thanks for coming.
Impromptu. let us know if you need anything.
If you think of something else, just drop me an email. You know, we'll help clarify whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know. We haven't got anything back. I'll check with Billy again to try and give those guys prodding on the playground equipment. And I'll just know if you need anything with the backpacks or whatever it is.
Yep, and I'll get you a signed sheet for that.
Yeah, and I'll get that taken care of whenever you get it.
Sounds good.
I don't want it to fall off my radar either. So.
No.
I don't think I have. You guys have anything else?
Mm-mm.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. Have a great day.
Go Bees.
Well, we'll be at the Trunk or Treat.
Yeah, we'll be at the, no, the Booth.
Booth or Treat.
Booth or Treat.
Yeah.
Everybody's dressing up.
You are?
I'm not coming, but everybody else.
Oh, is. Yeah, sure.
Oh, nice.
I'll be dressed as a fireman.
Wait a minute, I worked that night.
Yeah, we'll be dressed as firemen.
As a fiscal officer.
So you were a fireman? Is that what you wore at Disney?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Build in. Take care.
See ya.
Okay.
All right.
The other thing, Gary and I talked for a little while. He asked me what I thought the community would think of solar farms. And I told him I thought it would be very favorable.
I think so too.
And I thought that the community would be pretty favorable to it. I said, you always have somebody against it.
Actually, that's another good idea for. It's not so much anti-annexation, but it's definitely anti-development, is a solar farm. I mean, yes, it gets developed, but doesn't get built up with kids.
We were kind of talking about the property across the road, the 31 acres by the trailer park. But I wonder if we're gaining anything here with them that maybe they'll go with what they got back there. When they come back for annexation.
I don't understand.
Instead of coming clear to 40 to that line.
Say that.
Of what they
so
bought.
They split those lines off back there?
Yeah.
This is Friends.
Mm-hmm.
That line's right across.
Oh, I see that. Interesting. That's what's left is the T.
The 56 acres.
Okay. When did they sell that?
I didn't look at the date. You can find it there, I'm sure. It's been just recent.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a real big win. And the other gentleman said he would go to their attorney and see.
Wow, it just happened. 9/1/23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just wonder if maybe they'll try that, thinking they won't get as much opposition and all.
Now that could be. That very much, very much
could
be.
Who knows? We won't know till it happens.
Yeah.
But that's kind of interesting.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
But that Halderman property, that he will not tell me how much.
Yeah, this was on their line.
Per our understanding from Bart Gessman, they can't tell you how much, or they risk getting in trouble, which is crazy.
He was really feeling me out, trying to make sure, you know, that I was serious and talking with him. And he said, well, do you have any idea what the developer would be paying for that?
Well, you can see on this, right? Sales
price. Well, I told him, I said, it'd be right around $20,000. He said, well, you know, if I was to consider anything, it'd have to be a substantial financial gain for us to want to get out of that contract. I said, yeah, it'd be kind of silly to lose money.
Yeah.
You know, so he said, well, I'll go talk to him. I just see his wife. I knew her, both sets of her grandparents.
Uh-huh.
And then on the one side, on her dad's side, I know even the great-grandparents.
Oh, wow.
So I can name all the names and all, so it makes him feel a little bit comfortable to talk to me.
Yeah.
We talked for 20, 25 minutes probably. So we'll see, but I felt pretty good about it.
Good. I think that's another solar farms, maybe not so much as in terms of anti-development strategy.
Well, I got the thing of just wondering what Gary was talking about, you know what I mean? If he had 56 acres and 31, you know what I mean? That's getting up there 88 acres. That'd be enough to interest some solar place.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Can you find that out? Okay. Do you want to see this farm bill?
Which one?
House Bill 95.
Oh, I would like to see it.
That they keep talking about.
Oh, yeah. Julie sent that to me yesterday, asked me to make copies, and I brought those this morning. So
I
have
to.
Oh.
I have copies, too.
Who brought it?
Me. She emailed me last night and asked me to bring copies for today. So.
Oh, Julie did?
Yes.
Well, this is just, it isn't much at all. It's 15 pages long, but we can look at it here real easy. A lot of information on who a beginning farmer is. So I marked on that first page in number 4. It says a beginning farmer means an individual who has been certified as a beginning farmer by the Director of Agriculture, blah, 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 blah. Okay? But where you know, you have to read all this criteria. On page 2, number 4, it says have a total net worth including the assets and liabilities of the individual spouse and dependents of less than $800,000.
Wait, where are you?
Page two, number 4.
Number 4.
Okay. All right.
Which, yeah, that would probably be a beginning farmer unless he's mom and dad or his grandpa or somebody's given him some ground. And then he wouldn't, I mean, there's just a lot of hurdles you have to jump through.
Okay, is this actually enacted?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Now, what, no, page 3, go to page 3 and look at number 2. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road or whatever. Number 2, the director shall approve an application received under this section if the director determines that the applicant is eligible for the credit and if awarding the credit would not cause the limit described in Division F of this section to be exceeded. The director shall issue a tax credit certificate to an approved applicant listing the amount of the credit the applicant is authorized to claim under Division A, Section 5747.77 of the revised code. Here is where it is, which shall equal 3.99% of the following, and the first letter A, the sale price of the agricultural asset. So in this case, where we would be talking about it would be the land.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say the purchase price was $20,000. Per acre, the landowner would get $798 tax credit.
But I have a question.
Per acre.
My question is, and this is the part that I can't quite wrap my head around yet with this bill, and you're absolutely right about the net worth of $800,000.
Yep.
So let's say that I am a beginning farmer, and this is my question. I'm a beginning farmer, and I want to go out and buy a piece of farm ground and start as this beginning farmer, and everybody gets this tax credit. And the going rate of farmland is $12,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to go buy that farm ground that I'm looking at, you take $800,000 divided by $12,000, that gets you 66 acres. So I have to be able to have $800,000 to buy 66 acres worth of ground.
No, you can't have more than $800,000 in value.
It says my net worth is $800,000.
Can't be more than that.
Right, but what? So
you can have a net worth of nothing.
But if I want to buy ground,
uh-huh,
I have to have the money to do so,
or be able to borrow it.
Borrow it, yeah.
But once you borrow it,
that's your
purchase the you to qualify for the director to qualify for you this. If you purchase that land, it's your asset and it's worth that amount of money. It's going
right.
to be worth
that,
more.
That's
than
the part that I'm not being able to.
Dollars. I mean, you're not going to get to qualify for this if you're buying land that's at that level
no,
per acre.
You're looking at that wrong.
Well, then tell us how to look
okay.
at it, because that's exactly how I'm looking at
in
it.
In other words, if, let's say somebody wanted to go up here and buy this piece of property from Gary Lavey,
mm-hmm.
brand new farmer. He can't own or have more than $800,000 worth of assets.
Okay.
All right. That's as far as that $800,000 goes. Then he can go up there to buy that piece of property. Now, it's $20,000 an acre, let's say.
Okay.
So that's $1.2 million or whatever for that 56 acres. So they don't care, you know, if you don't have any equity, he's probably not going to qualify for a loan.
That's my point.
But Grandpa could co-sign for him or whatever.
Okay.
And that would be fine.
So
I just didn't.
Does the credit come before the purchase of the
yes.
property? Okay.
That's,
so the credit comes.
That's what,
this, you yeah, apply but, for this credit before you even own the property?
But what this is really for.
That's what I'm saying.
Is for Mom and Dad to be handing down their farm. Our grandpa to be handing down their farm.
And get the tax break.
Generational tax
break. And get a little
break.
Bit of a tax break. But it's such a low amount of money that in a case like where we have here, Gary wanting to sell, you know, for this farmer to buy it, he's going to want to pay, say, $12,000 an acre. At $12,000 an acre, Gary's going to get a $480 tax credit. Well, now let's see. Do I take $12,000 an acre and get a $480 tax credit, or do I just sell it to a developer and get $20,000? This does nothing.
For parcels that are in the line of
development.
Right. If you lived in Auglaize County, maybe it would be beneficial.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's going to do, in our situation, House Bill 95 is going to do absolutely nothing.
And as the other thing that I'm reading correctly, because this whole thing is confusing, and hopefully you can set me straight, on page 3F, the maximum amount of tax credit that the director can issue is $10 million.
Yes.
For the entire state of
yes.
Ohio.
Yeah. So, and I'm not sure I understand this completely. On the page 3, the subset 2 that you read, you said if the purchase price is $20,000 per acre, and then he buys, let's
it just, would be equal. The tax break would be equal to 3.99% of the following.
Just under 4%.
Okay, so would so. There's just let's just say 4% for the argument.
Make it simple.
Yeah, he buys 5 acres at $100,000 at $20,000 an acre. It's $100,000. 4% of $100,000 is $4,000. So but his taxes on that property are not even $4,000. So what is this tax credit? I don't understand the credit. Because his taxes on that property would probably only be like $100 a year, right?
You're talking real estate taxes?
Yeah, property taxes.
I think they're talking more in terms of capital gains.
Capital gains taxes.
Oh, capital gains
taxes. At the end of the year,
oh,
when you do
I was understanding.
Taxes.
Got it. It's for capital.
This
it's
is
a tax credit for
and
capital
then
gains.
And if you don't owe that much taxes, I think you can read in here. You can go ahead. For the next 3 years or something.
Yeah, that's another section that talks about whether you're in a township, city, whatever. There's another section.
Gotcha.
Of it.
Okay.
But the thing that that you can maybe point me out to in this too that I don't quite understand is it keeps talking about the beginning farmer getting these tax credits.
It's the landowner's going to.
But
get
where
it.
Does that say that?
But who's going to be the landowner?
The new farmer is going to get is he thinks buying the land cheaper.
Gotcha.
But I, so the director back here on 3-2 may approve this section. The director shall issue a tax credit certificate to the approved applicant listing the amount. So is the applicant not the beginning farmer? The applicant is the other person.
Correct.
So it's not.
It's just like in here, it talks about back here on.
Okay, but why it's beneficial generationally is if I want to sell this to my kid, I am the seller, so I sell it at a lower price to my kid.
Correct.
$10,000 an acre for my 5 acres. Now I'm only getting a $2,000 tax credit, but it I can take that off my taxes for capital gains.
Which won't amount to anything on a tax return.
I know.
At this
right,
level,
yeah,
that,
right,
that amount.
Yes.
It's
no,
like,
I know.
Who, like he's, we've all been saying it, it's not worth the paper
right.
It's written on for.
There's probably
in
some very specific situations where it would
yeah.
be beneficial,
yeah.
but not probably in our situation.
And it looks like another question I have, and I'm sorry I'm asking so many questions, it's just a confusing bill. Yeah. So it also works if you lease it looks like, to them, correct? Like if you leased it to a beginning farmer, it would do the same thing.
Right.
So you wouldn't even have to sell your land, you could lease it and still
yes,
get
right,
these credits.
They also talk in here, you know, some of this will work buying a livestock trailer or buying a pickup truck and
yeah.
all this and that. But for as much paperwork as there is, no dealer's going to do that.
What?
To get a couple hundred dollars, you know. Or
and am I missing the point? Why would this help someone change the deal they already have with?
This doesn't help.
Right?
This is not a tool for
to stop in. I mean, the whole point in this discussion was to find things.
Well, it could be if let's just say that Mr. Levy, at some point in time, with the remaining acres, decided to take advantage of this well on the north side of 40, with somebody who qualified as a young farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So it would help him with tax breaks on the sale of that
return,
land.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, is if you're buying that to farm, it has a value of, you fill in the blank for me, Don?
$10,000 or $12,000.
So $12,000 will go high end. If you're selling it to development, it's $20,000. So you're looking already at $8,000 more profit versus getting 4% of $12,000 back in your pocket for a capital gains distribution. So 4% of $12,000 is?
Like
4% of $12,480.
So $480 is my benefit versus $8,000
right.
if I sell it to a developer.
Right. Nobody's going to do it.
I mean, if you're looking at it as pure economics, the numbers don't work.
You're doing
that's
it only for your
saying.
Family member.
That's basically
right. You'd have to have it for a family
this
member.
Nothing, yeah.
But nobody's going to back out of a deal because of it.
Right.
I mean, that's not even an issue.
That's what I was
Right.
This whole bill is just
I agree
silliness.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Is what?
It's
you say silliness?
Huh?
You say silliness?
Yeah. Because it don't really do anything, but it probably gets Farm Bureau to make a sizable political contribution to these people because they think they're really helping farmers.
One of the things I think that we discovered when we started doing our initial research back in, 19, Beth? 820? With looking at agricultural easements, preservation easements, all those kind of things, we discovered a term called the, path of development. And if you're outside of the path of development, this stuff works. If there's no development pressure.
Right.
If you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, if you're out on... I'm going to use this Preble County Line Road out there where Brown's Nursery is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have multi-generational farms, agricultural easements, this stuff works. Because you're really just changing property to, and the reason I use Brown's Nursery as an example, that guy comes to the flea market every Sunday that I go to and sells produce.
Oh, really?
The Brown's Nursery guy. He's loud and obnoxious and everything else, but a nice guy in general. Well, to those who don't know him well. But you listening to him talk about his farm, and I mean, they sell trees. They have, they you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's a huge farm area out there. Produce, trees, plants, everything. And I think he's the ninth generation of Browns.
Really? Wow.
That has that place, and his sons and daughters are all there.
Wow.
I mean, they come sell produce. They look at you and your generation. Look at the amount that Shelby and Megan and everything have done on the farm, your grandson. That's how these multi-generational farms work. And that's a great thing.
It is.
Until Amir and Mr. Levy's situation, where that generational thing runs out. I mean, we've all heard from different times with Mr. Levy that my kids have no interest.
Right.
I'm done. I can't go any farther. I can't pass it on.
So, yeah, if we... It
could work.
It doesn't stop development in areas that are threatened by annexation because the opportunity cost of going with development is too high.
Well, anytime you talk about real estate development, lack of development, anything else, anytime you talk about commercial development, anytime you talk about industrial development and you listen to the news and anything else, the one word that keeps coming up is incentives. And if you do not have the correct incentives,
right,
you don't have anything to bring to the table. I don't see how this is a viable incentive when you start talking about the numbers. 480 versus 8,000.
Exactly.
If this was 5,000 versus 8,000, mm-hmm, you might start getting close.
Yeah.
I mean, there might, you know, you might just say, I love my farm. I don't want to do what, you know.
Right, yeah.
It's close enough. I can perpetuate it somehow.
Right. And if it's your kid, you want to give them a chance to, so why would you do it? You definitely give them the advantage and you take the hit financially. But, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for getting this.
Yeah. Whatever.
What is this called? House Bill number?
95.
So the tax benefit goes to the person selling, not to the new farmer.
Well, there is some tax benefits they can get off of real estate taxes. That's farther on in the bill.
Oh, is it?
I believe.
Where is that?
If I read it right.
What they're going to get is be able to buy the land at a lesser price.
Well, and that's on there.
Right.
There's something that talks about later on, if it's in a city, township, or village, there can be some tax, I don't know.
You'd have to read the whole thing, but the bottom line is it's not going to do anything.
Neither service payments in lieu of taxes under section blah, 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 nor service charges in lieu of taxes under section blah, 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 shall be required with respect to the property or portion of the property that is exempt from real property taxes under that other provision of the Ohio Revised Code during the effective period of exemption. So where is that?
What page are you
on? Six.
And then it continues on through 9, 10, and everything else. So.
So we could exempt it? Is that what you're saying?
Once again, these things are meant for lawyers to look at.
Yeah. But we could only exempt the township portion of the tax.
For a certain amount of time.
They already get the CAUV and all.
Yeah, no other exemption shall be granted for the portion of the property already exempt.
The section that I read that kind of jumped down on me, it's an underlined section on page 7, number B2, I think it is. an agreement, declaration, or covenant by which the owner of the property subject exemption binds the owner of the property, regardless of future use or ownership, to the obligation to make service payments or changes until the terms of the exemption have been satisfied. There was something how it works, but it's very minimal.
But if you already have the CAUV, that is your exemption. You can't get another one, according to this.
Then it talks about a credit, starting on page 9, kind of at the bottom. A non-refundable credit against the taxpayer's aggregate liability. For a taxpayer issued a credit certificate under Division D, the credit shall be claimed for a taxable year during which the certificate is issued. Credit shall be claimed in order required under some more revised code sections and shall be applied against the tax due for not more than 7 succeeding taxable years. So I'm not sure what all that credit is, but it looks like there's some credit that can be.
Okay, tax credit for 7 years, potential.
Potential.
But only township portion. We
correct, that's what it looks like.
All right. I'm writing that on the front. Potential for tax credit for 7 years. Property tax credit. Okay.
I think.
The bottom line is you can read very little of that and realize it's not going to work. Both work.
I'd have to agree with it. It's not the best incentive for what we have.
I'm just skimming over this page 10, but to get your aggregate amount, it goes down to talk about if you get the senior citizen credit, lump sum retirement credit, the dependent care credit, the credit for displaced workers. There are so many other things that go into that to even calculate that aggregate amount that it's
right.
Even going to be lower.
Right, yeah.
So if I'm reading, you know.
The bottom line is, if it's written into part of Ohio Revised Code, the state of Ohio is going to give you nothing for free.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for bringing this out. That's
yep.
Great. Okay. I would suggest that all the other strategies, I mean, Julie was familiar with this and you were familiar with this. I haven't. I just saw it today for the first time. So do we want to wait till she comes till our next workshop meeting? Because I feel like it's an important discussion.
Important discussion.
And we want to hear her thoughts, and we don't want to have to repeat it again. So.
Okay. Well, we'll move on and talk about that next time we have the three trustees here. We have minutes that we're going to discuss. We have some minutes with issues with the minutes, but I don't know what those are.
Next one, so.
Next meeting, regular meeting is on November 24th. I currently don't have any agenda items for that meeting, but that doesn't mean something won't come up between now and next Tuesday.
October 24th, you mean?
I'm sorry, October 24th. I'm already moving past. That's
yeah.
A typo.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to the bathroom and come back and give you an open house recap.
Okay.
I'm going to walk to my truck to get another Diet Coke.
All right, go for it.
All right.
I'm going to stand up.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Over there?
Just right here.
Okay. Mike, what are you going to do?
I'm going to sit right here.
Anyway, I can't sit.
There was a meeting where...
On to Diet Coke. He'll be back though.
Yeah.
I thought the open house was great. You guys did a fantastic job.
It was a huge turnout. I was surprised.
It really helps to do those flyers, I think.
Yeah. Bounce House was a success.
Any update on the new Bounce House?
don't know.
I feel like you guys should just do Bounce House Friday. If there's like somebody, like, or Bounce House Saturday. Come see our new Bounce House.
Right. Yeah.
Have a nice Saturday. Put it out.
Yeah, we can do something like that when it gets here.
And then we'll get a sign for the Tip Foundation. Yeah.
That's the Bounce House we have.
By the smokehouse, yeah.
Was that ours?
That one we had is ours, but it's not the one that we've been waiting on.
So
update from the open house. So I would estimate that we had probably over 200 people come.
Oh, easily.
We went through around 120 hamburgers and hot dogs, trays of macaroni, trays of beans. Bunch of salad, potato salad.
Food was excellent.
Yeah,
so everybody had a good time eating. Went through all of our pumpkins that we had to give away. We handed out some flyers for our fundraiser for the Association for Pictures coming up. We purchased the new Bounce House, which was already here. And that seemed like a big hit for the kids. The smokehouse did not arrive on time. Mm. We're still hoping that it gets here for fire safety. One of the things that I thought was interesting was, and I got a lot of traction, we demoed the Lucas device for folks.
Yes, a lot of people liked it.
A lot of people looked at it. I mean, what I personally, the automatic CPR machine.
Yeah.
In fact, we should probably do another, that video posted again, just say, hey, this is our Lucas device. And we have two of them now, right?
Yeah, one on both medics, yes. And so that was great. Josh came up with that idea at the last minute, and we threw it out there. And I know I personally demoed it to probably 10 or 12 people. And you know, everybody else was kind of pitching
and
into that.
If I give you CPR in the field, it's a 4% survival rate. If
I can get you those numbers. I don't know them off the top of my head.
I think it's like 19%.
It goes up
very low.
Yeah, it goes up tremendously with that.
With that device?
With
that
device.
Okay.
We had the Care Flight land without a problem. Those guys were the third one because the other two were out on calls. That was out of action.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the helicopter out of Lebanon that came.
No way. Oh, my goodness.
So the other two had to go, one on a wreck and the other one on a transport.
Wow.
So we were lucky to get them. And I was really surprised at the turnout. We didn't have the greatest weather, but everybody came out. The extrication went super quick. You know, you just had two really experienced guys cutting a car up, so...
it was great, and everybody loved that. Yeah,
and you know, those are draws. I mean, you know, the helicopter, the extrication demo, bouncy house, and pumpkins for the kids. I mean, we know what the draws are.
I heard one little girl say, "It's already broken. Why are they breaking it more?"
We went over and let the kids kind of open and close the tools at the end. So you know, it's all about, you know, we tie it in with Fire Prevention Week because that's what it's really about.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
and getting kids and their parents even exposed to those things that we do. So it's good. I thought it was a tremendous success. We did 1,000 flyers and dropped them off at the school.
Great.
So that's why, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the school age kids came. And I know that there's a lot of folks that come from Carriage Trails, but at the end of the day, we're all going to the same school, and it's all kind of part of the community.
Yeah, but we also respond to mutual aid.
Oh, we sure do.
And the thing is, it's fire safety for everybody.
Correct.
It was just nice to see a lot of people there. It was a great turnout.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased with our open house this year. I was worried because of the weather, but I think it was a great event.
And kudos to all of you guys. You guys, it's a lot of work to get that set up and going. And
it is. Me and Mike were... limping around like old men yesterday here at work, so it does take a lot of work and a lot of prep. And I wanted to thank Debbie a lot. She always keeps us going on what we need to get and the things that are good. She does a great job of, and she takes care of all the kind of
everybody around.
And you know, Debbie's our decorating eye,
and
she does a great job with putting all that stuff on the table and making it look nice. So
yeah, no, it was.
If
awesome.
It wasn't for her, we'd have very kind of plain looking man type open house. So
not even tablecloth.
Yeah, we'd just be eating off the ground.
Would we
probably.
Have tables? No.
You can hold. You stand there and hold
overrated.
The plate. But I think we had about 10 leftover hamburgers and we ate them for lunch yesterday. So
oh that wow, was, that's not bad. 10.
Yeah, we there people ate.
Yeah.
They ate.
I had a burger. It was good.
So, Yeah, that's the thing. Any questions from you guys on it or anything? Or?
Well, it's very nice.
Anything you'd like to see differently for next year? I try and do recaps of these things.
I think if you had more pumpkins and brought them out like in batches, I know it's one more thing to do, but there were kids who like didn't get a pumpkin and were sadly disappointed, but all I said was, doesn't matter how many pumpkins we get, they're gone. That's the only thing.
Well, maybe we should increase. I mean, we got 75 of them.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, next year you'll get 75 and we'll
have
50
kids. And it'll rain and we'll have 10 kids.
Yeah, so I thought it went, that was really good.
And even on all my flyers, I put pumpkins while they last.
Yeah, so. And that's good. And it was hard to hear Josh. It would have been, he did a great job, but it was just hard to
hear. Well, that microphone broke.
Right before.
No way.
It literally broke off in half.
Yeah.
So he was like trying to hold it together and talk.
Okay. But. So, fix the microphone for next year. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for you. And then did they come right away and take that car?
Came yesterday.
That's amazing. Yeah. Who did that?
Saunders.
Saunders Towing. We pay for it, so I don't have to thank them too much.
Right.
It costs us like $150 to get
the car.
Nothing's
for free.
$100 for the car and then fuel. We used to get cars for free until scrap prices went up and everything.
Out the roof, yeah.
And the thing is you still get the car.
Yeah.
It's just chopped up already.
Right, yeah. Well, we don't care.
Yeah. And then our guys actually went out and trained some more on it Sunday evening and yesterday.
Good.
So we got a little additional training out of it. Because we just kind of did the base, you know, cut the top off and the door on one side. But
even though it was already broken.
Even though it was already broken. That was a previous police vehicle, too. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
It did have, in the trunk area, it had some reinforcement and some stuff like that.
Wow. Like roll cage, bars around the windows.
Yeah.
We took those off before we started.
That was good.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, we might increase the pumpkin. I mean, 25 more pumpkins not going to kill us. I mean, we can go to 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Pending minutes review. We don't have any for that because that's what we're going to talk about. So, any trustee items from you guys?
If at the next meeting we can bring that B resolution so that we can all sign it, I need to submit it to the B City USA.
Okay.
That's it. I keep forgetting to tell you until the.
Wait, it has to be signed by you guys?
I think so.
Because generally, Debbie just puts how you voted and then attests her signature.
Let me look
that
at
there. That might be one.
Yeah, that might be enough for it. Let me look for it.
It's usually what our official resolutions are. Attested by her.
Okay, let me look and I'll get back to you.
The guys have done very good on the trees there on Singer, but they need to come west
and get those ones by the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing a good job, and I still need to get a hold of an arborist person. I've called a couple of tree people. And do you know anybody from Workham?
No.
I don't either.
But let me talk to them with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we want to get them in.
We want them to be, yes, I know. But it does look better cleaned out now.
Yeah. My guys is over there working. The house is tore down out by the road.
The
Woodwood.
Servant house out there?
Yeah. And the shop is all down. They brought in a hydraulic hammer this morning to start breaking concrete.
Wow.
So it'll all be done for 2 months.
Good.
Yeah, I keep watching Five Rivers Metro Parks website to see like when are they having their grand opening or welcome to our new section, but they haven't had anything on it yet.
I think they want to get their trails and stuff done first before they do that. And that's a little ways off.
Yeah, and I had a comment from a lady at the open house. I already talked to Andy about it, that the bathrooms in Friendship Park were never open this summer when she was there playing with her kid. Andy said they are, or they should be, so it's just something to keep on our radar for next spring that we make sure that they are open. And also the drinking fountain didn't work, but now you got it fixed. So
yeah, we had a problem with the drinking fountain.
Yeah, but now they're shut off anyway for the winter.
They're shut off for the winter, yes. And I don't understand the lock things. I did talk to Robert. He's like, we didn't lock them.
Okay. Yeah.
So
should be open all the time, right?
Yeah.
Well, can people lock them when they come out or something?
Not really. No, they only lock from the inside.
Okay. All
right, well.
Did you have something, Debbie?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I received a resignation letter on October 11th, and I'm going to read it to you. This letter serves as my formal resignation from my position as the fiscal assistant at Bethel Township, Miami County. I have really enjoyed my time as an employee at the township, as I have felt welcomed and appreciated by the majority of the staff, and I will dearly miss that. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to work alongside you and the many wonderful individuals employed at the township. Since January 2022, my position has been questioned countless times by Trustee Julie Reese, which I have found very unprofessional and blatantly disrespectful. Additionally, actions of Trustee Reese have created an aggressive and toxic work environment for all of the employees. On Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, I attended a Meet the Candidate night for the township and asked one candidate valid, reasonable questions that may potentially affect my position there. Since this event, I have been slandered and defamed on social media sites by Trustee Reese and her posse. I had previously been offered a position with another employee, but only decided to accept it after this series of badgering events involving Trustee Reese. I wish the township all the best in the future, and again, thank you for the opportunity. Best of luck. Signed, Stacy L. McKenzie. So it's going to be a great loss for me. She was, you know, I'm the one who trained her to be a fiscal officer, and that's why it was a benefit for me to bring her over here, and she was able to do that work. With the comments from, you know, there's no position. I have no intention of filling it until after I see if I win or not. There's no reason for me to find myself an assistant until after I know I'll be here.
Right, that's a good point.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to fill it until
then.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Do you have the job description up and ready, or do you need it? Just so that...
We have it.
Yeah, when the time comes.
All right. Can you attach that letter to the meeting?
Minutes.
Thanks. All right, I don't have anything else. Do you?
No.
The ongoing items, we've already talked about, we spent the first 15 minutes talking about the rights annexation.
You need to fix the word updates.
No, I like it like that.
Oh, okay.
Good
agates. It makes you pay attention to it.
Uh-huh. All right.
Massage parlor, I sent the original ones. I resent another one. Still haven't received anything. Debbie had received a couple of legal opinions from Chris's assistant that he has now, but I still have not received anything on massage parlors. Mm. We've already discussed the trees on Singer. Our crews are already working on them, and I still got to find an arborist. And then Archive Social, we said we just keep it up there and park updates. I did call that guy in Indianapolis twice now, and he's not called me back, so I'm going to just call the company because maybe, I don't know, maybe he doesn't do that anymore or something.
For the swing set.
He was going to come and do the
overall thing. Okay.
Billy got a hold of the guys that did the moves for the school.
Okay, good.
For their playground equipment to see about moving this playground equipment to our place.
Great.
My plan on that is if we do move it, it won't be in the same location. It'll be in a new location closer to the bathrooms.
I think that's a great idea.
So that way they can start fresh with fresh ground.
Yeah.
And then we can just discontinue the other one and... go from there.
Yeah.
But that'd be my plan.
What does the school have under theirs? Do they have like that tire mulch?
The new one has like a squishy surface.
Yeah.
A solid surface. The other ones had the tire mulch.
Okay. So what do we think we're going to put under this?
Probably the tire mulch stuff again. And you know, if the guys come back and say something that they can do something different for a reasonable price, it that stuff we looked at OTA is very expensive.
Yeah, I know it is expensive.
Somebody asked me, is our stuff coming down?
It would then if we get this new stuff.
Yeah, get the new stuff. Yeah, somebody asked. I said, I don't know.
Okay. You think what we have needs to come down?
Yes.
It's not safe.
It's getting unsafe. Yes. We've patched it together. It's still functional and safe now, but we always get questioned when we do our. Our
liability
stuff and, you know, age and everything else. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Man, it's been in there for
Robert gave me a thing.
20 years.
Yeah.
Before I was a trustee.
I think it goes back to 2001.
Yeah. I think 22 years.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have anything else?
I do not.
Okay. Well. I can adjourn the meeting at 10:05.
All right.